Welcome to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. It's our desire to see you cross over into God's plan for your life through the teaching of His Word. Coming up on Crossover Radio, Pastor Eric is continuing to take us verse by verse through the Gospel of Matthew. So join us as we pick up in chapter 7, verse 21, and here's Pastor Eric.
Well, in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, we are actually finishing up the Sermon on the Mount that began in Matthew chapter 5. He called his disciples to him, and he began then teaching on a series of subjects. And so as we get down to verse 21, we're really at the end of his message. It's three chapters for us. It was one message for Jesus. And he had been speaking about the false prophets, if you look back up in verse 15. He said to beware of false prophets who would come to you in sheep's clothing. That is, these false teachers who would show up among the Christians in disguise. They're wearing sheep's clothing. In other words, they look like Christians. They talk like Christians. But do they teach as Christians? And do they live as Christians? So Jesus warned us about the false prophets that would come in among us in disguise. He said in verse 16 that we would know them by their fruits. Again, what they said, and as we'll find today, how they are living. Does it match what the Bible has to say? So Jesus continues on then in the context saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, verse 21, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So the last time we were in this passage, we noted that we could identify the false prophets because they don't teach the Bible. They don't agree with what the Bible has to say. They have their own strange ideas. They have their own doctrines. But continuing on in the context, Jesus now brings out their lifestyle. Do they live according to the Word of God? Oh, they may be able to get up and to teach, but what does their life look like? Do they live according to the Word of God? And as you and I would examine this passage, we should ask ourselves, do we live according to the Word of God? Because as Jesus states here, not everyone who says to me, this is someone who is speaking to Jesus. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus, looking out into the future, sees the day on which all men will give an account to him. And he knows, he can already see that day. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You see, it's not just what we say that matters. It's how we live. Now, our life should match our profession. If we say, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm not just a Christian by name or a Christian by birth, but I'm a born-again Christian. I've been made alive. I've been forgiven. I'm a true Christian. Then our life should match that. Now, none of us are perfect, but we should all be seeking to follow the Lord. So there are going to be people who will be saying, Jesus, you are my Lord, who will not enter the kingdom of heaven because their life does not match their profession. Paul said to Titus that there are those who profess to know God, but in works they deny him being disobedient. So if we truly love God, we should be seeking to follow him. If we truly love Jesus, then we should be seeking to keep his commandments. Jesus said, "If you love me," John 14:15, "keep my commandments." He then said it again in John 15:14, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." 1 John says, "By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So it makes perfect sense. If I were to tell you, I love my wife, I love her. I love her so much. She's so dear to me. But I completely disregard our wedding vows. All that I pledged to her before the Lord on our wedding day, I just disregard our wedding vows all the time, never giving them a thought or attention. And then I keep coming up to you and saying, I love my wife. I cherish her so much. You'd be like, dude, you are a liar. You are a liar. Who are you trying to fool? Everybody can see the way you treat her. Because you continually disrespect her. You continually disregard her. You continually set aside the vows you made to her. Why do you even say that you love her? Because your life doesn't match your actions. If we are Christians, our life will look like it. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we love the Lord, we should find ourselves seeking to keep his commandments. We're not perfect, but we're seeking, right? We're not perfect, but we're praying, looking for God to strengthen us and to help us. We're looking to walk in the way that is right, seeking to be conformed to his image and not the image of the world. So Jesus says then in verse 22, many will say to me in that day. So you see, Jesus in his mind's eye is looking out to the day of judgment. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? So you see, they're trying to tell Jesus he's wrong about them. Jesus, no, you're wrong about me. I mean, I prophesied in your name. Jesus is like, ooh. Well, I cast out demons in your name. We read about some guys in the book of Acts in chapter 19 that they were calling upon the name of Jesus, seeking to exorcise demons. That they were not followers of Jesus, but they were using his name because of the power of his name. Haven't we done mighty wonders in your name? I mean, I was on television, Lord, doing wonders in your name. Jesus is like, what channel again? Because I never knew you, he says right here. I never knew you. I will declare to them, verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So guys, it's just important that we're honest with ourselves. If we love Jesus, wonderful. Then let's live like it. If we believe in Jesus, wonderful. Let's seek to follow him. Let's not kid ourselves or try and kid other people so we can hang out with some crowd or get a Christian girlfriend or whatever. Let's be honest with who we are and be honest about where we're at with the Lord, because there's a day coming when we will have to give an account, and we want to have the Lord say, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Jesus then gives a parable about two builders. Two men who built their homes as an illustration about what he has just taught us about how we're building our lives. We're building our lives in faith and in truth and in honesty under Jesus' lordship, or we're building our lives in hypocrisy, in pretense. And he likens it here to two builders. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came. The winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, And then Jesus adds, and great was its fall. So to help us understand his teaching, Jesus likens our life to two builders. Both of these men building houses, both of these houses subject to the elements of hardship. And so the first man, he built his house on the rock. The second man built his house on the sand. Both men made choices. Why did the wise man build his house on the rock? Why did the foolish man build his house on the sand? Well, to start with the foolish man, maybe the foolish man built his house on the sand because it was at the beach. And it's nice to be at the beach. And it was appealing to his flesh. Maybe he built his house on the sand because it cost more money to get a plot of ground that was a firm foundation. Maybe he built his house on the sand because he comes from a history of people, a family that always builds their house on the sand. This is just the way my family is, and why should I change? Jesus says to that man, you're foolish. Your life will fall, and in the judgment, you will fall. On the other hand, the wise man, he also had decisions set before him, but he made wise choices. Perhaps he made choices that required more self-denial. Perhaps he made choices that were a bit more costly to begin with. However, once his house was built and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon this house, his house stood. Now we can look at the winds and the floods beating upon the house, the rains descending. We can look at that as both the trials of this life, the hardships of life that come to all of us, as well as the final judgment. We can find application for both of these things. You know, a wise man building his house upon the rock, Jesus Christ, and upon God's word, his house and his life will weather the storms of life. Yes, it'll be hard. Yes, times will be difficult, but his life will stand. But the man who is foolish in building his house upon the sand, when his hardships come, then his life will fall. He will find himself losing his employment because of the way he behaves himself at work. He will find himself losing his marriage because of the way he treats his wife. He will find himself losing his friends. He may find himself on the wrong side of the law, and his life will fall as the pressures of life beat upon it. You and I were not designed to live apart from Jesus Christ being our Lord. You and I were not designed to just be free moral agents to go and live any way that we pleased. Think about it. We were designed, we were made to follow the lordship of Jesus Christ. Most of you probably got here in a car. Listen, your car was designed, your engine was designed to have oil in it. You don't put oil in that thing and you just keep driving. Hey, listen, that engine is going to break down. In the same way, we were designed to live under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You have not been made to live according to the dictates of your own heart. You can't live that way. Your life will fail, and then ultimately in the judgment, as Jesus said here, you will not be standing in the judgment. You will be falling in the judgment. And so the warning from the Lord. So let us be wise builders under the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good, and following him is a better life. I've done both. Following the Lord it's a better life. It really is. It may seem a little bit more difficult to begin with. Man, do I really need to find a foundation to place this life upon? Maybe, I don't know, maybe the sand is a little easier. But you know what? Once you make your way a little bit and that house built on the sand, you realize, man, this ain't a good place to live. The scripture says, come, taste and see the Lord is good. After you follow Jesus a little bit, you're like, this is good. This is what I was made for. Well, as Jesus has finished now his Sermon on the Mount 5, 6, and 7, we get a glimpse of the response of the people in verses 28 and 29. It says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished," or they were surprised, or they tripped out on Jesus' teaching. Why? "Because Jesus taught them as one having authority." I wonder why Jesus did that. I wonder why he seemed like he had authority when he was teaching. Maybe because he's the Son of God and he has all authority. But the thing is, it says that Jesus taught as one having authority, not as the scribes. So let's say we were a synagogue before the time of Jesus, okay? We're a synagogue before the time of Jesus. Well, rather than just coming up and teaching straight out of the scriptures and making application, what I would do is I would constantly be quoting prominent rabbis. Well, Rabbi so-and-so said this, and an ancient rabbi, he said that. And I would be constantly referring to the authority of other people as we were going through our study of the scriptures. Well, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus goes, "Hey, you've heard that it was said by so-and-so, but I say to you, and he who hears my word is a wise man, but he who rejects my word is a foolish man." And Jesus spoke with such authority as if he was the final answer, as if Jesus was the final word, as if all men were going to have to one day give an account to him. The people are like, "Wow, we ain't used to people talking to us like that." But such was the case, as the Messiah was teaching the truth of God, coming to bless us, teaching about the ways of the Lord. So they wondered at him. They marveled at him teaching with authority and not as the scribes. We'll pick up chapter 8 and go through verse 13 as we look at two stories. We're going to look at the cleansing of a leper, a leprous man who comes to Jesus and finds healing. And then we'll look at the healing of a centurion's servant. Two miracles here performed by the Lord as Jesus shows acts of just compassion, the love of God, the compassion of God, and also his authority, his ability to heal. So we read in chapter 8, verse 1, that when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus put out his hand and he touched him, and he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So we see here that when Jesus came down from the Sermon on the Mount, that multitudes had gathered around him by the time he had finished his teaching. And as Jesus is now moving off the mountain, there are multitudes thronging Jesus. They're jostling together. You've got, you know, young people, you've got middle-aged, you've got elderly, you've got kids, you've got people from all walks of life, and they're all jostling against one another to follow Jesus and to see what he might do and what else he might say. In the midst of that, notice verse 2 says, "And behold, a leper." And the idea with "behold" is this man then began to emerge from the crowd, this leper. Now, there was a very serious thing to have a leper among the crowd. You see, lepers, because of their skin disease, were separated from the people. Lepers really did not live and were not allowed really as a part of the society. They usually lived alone, or they lived in groups with other lepers. They were not allowed to come near the people for fear that they would pass on their leprosy. And it was a very fearful thing to have leprosy. I can't remember which movie it was. It's been a long time since I saw this movie, but there was some guy, and he was like stranded somewhere in a jungle or on an island, and he needed some help, and he happened upon a leper colony. And so as he was asking for help, like the chief leper guy, you know, he was smoking a cigar. And so this guy was saying, "Can you guys help me or whatever?" And so the chief leper guy, he's smoking his cigar, and then he hands him his cigar. Like, "Will you trust me?" And so the guy, will never forget the scene, you know, where the guy then takes a hit off the leper's cigar, you know, trusting that he's not going to contract the leprosy. Leprosy was a great mystery at this time. And so lepers were set apart for fear that their leprosy would be contagious to the other people. So here Jesus is, here the multitude is, and then all of a sudden, behold, a leper. And so you could imagine the parting of the crowd as this leper was making his way towards Jesus. Everyone would have heard him. Why? Because lepers were required when they were in a public place, if they were getting near people, lepers were required to cry out, unclean, unclean, describing their defilement before the people. And so as this leper approached the edge of the crowd, he would begin to cry out, unclean, unclean. And as the people turned around and saw him, the crowd would have split and there would have been this great parting as this leper made his way all the way to Jesus. How humiliating for this man as everyone backed away. And the people needed to. It was a safety issue. But how humiliating for this man as he approached Jesus Christ. And he came to Jesus, and he said to him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The confession of his faith is this, you can make me clean. I've come to you, this is a hard thing for me, this is embarrassing, this is humiliating, but I believe, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. His statement of faith was this, you can make me clean. His statement of question was, if you are willing. Would you be willing to cleanse me? Would you be willing not to despise me? Would you be willing to care for me? Would you be willing to look upon me and be moved with compassion and be willing to do something for me? If you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus said, I am willing. Be clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. There wasn't another person that had ever touched this man as a leper for fear that they might contract his disease. But Jesus reached out his hand, and as Jesus touched that leper was completely cleansed of his leprosy. What an experience that must have been for that man. And what a wonder that must have been among the crowd, as the man's leprosy was healed. Now, Jesus said to him, verse 4, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So it's interesting. Jesus says, listen, don't tell anybody about this. Don't go from here and start proclaiming how I've healed you. I want you to do something first. I want you to go straight to the priest. And according to Leviticus chapter 14, I want you to offer the offering that is prescribed in the law for the cleansing of a leper. Jesus said that it might be a testimony to them. Jesus is going to use this man to minister to the priests, as this man is going to offer the offering that goes along with the cleansing of the leper, that the priests are going to go, now what happened to you? Now who did this? Maybe this man was even known among the temple precincts. And so Jesus is going to use this man as a testimony. That's why I believe he says, tell no one, but go straight. He doesn't want this man to get caught up in this big old media hype, you know. And so he's on Geraldo and, you know, is on Oprah and all these different shows before he can get to the priest and offer the offering and bear witness there.
You've been listening to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. If you're interested in hearing this message again, go to our website, crossoverradioministry.com, and while you're there, send us an email to let us know you're listening at crossoverradioministry@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to write, you can do so at P.O. Box 1673, Brea, California, 92821. Be sure to include the call letters of this station so we know where our radio ministry is being effective. Have you ever wondered where the Bible came from? Well, if so, Pastor Eric Tribble has just released a new ebook entitled How We Got Our Bible. In this book, Pastor Eric covers topics such as how the Old and New Testaments were developed, how we can know that the Bible is truly from God, who decided what books would be in the Bible, why there's so many translations, and much more. You can read a sample of How We Got Our Bible and purchase this ebook for under $1 by going to crossoveroc.com. That's crossoveroc.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time on Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble.